Hey, I'm Mary.
And I'm Jake.
And you're listening to The Fly Angle, the official RDU Airport podcast.
Hey, it's episode 8 of The Fly Angle. Mary, how you doing?
I'm great. Jake, how are you?
Good, good. What'd you think of that interview with Chuck McFall last episode?
I was just in awe. And we received some really great feedback, both internally from some folks here at the airport. And then, of course, the feedback that we've received from you all has been just incredible as well.
Yeah. He's such an insightful guy. There is so much to unpack when it comes to airport technology and specifically IT. You think about like fascinating IT departments, and international airports got to be at or near the top of the list, right?
Exactly. And you know what? Sometimes, I don't know about you, Jake, but sometimes when I'm talking to people whose minds are that like that and that think that way, I get lost and I'm like in the clouds, literally. Yeah. But he made it so easy to understand. And he's just one of those people that you can just talk to or listen to for hours. So I really appreciate that. And I hope you did.
If you missed that episode, definitely go back and give it a listen. It's episode 7, just our most recent one. So summer's starting to wind down. Passenger trends are looking kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah, and you know, traffic does decline beginning the first week of August, and that's typically offset by a rise in business travel in the fall, right?
Yeah, and obviously this year is a little different from years past where we can more confidently rely on that business travel. Not so this year because of the pandemic and the recovery effort. So we're going to learn a lot in the next 4 to 6 weeks about what our growth trend looks like and what other airport growth trends look like based on the end of that summer travel and whether business comes back big time in the fall like it has in years past.
Exactly. I remember a year ago we were thinking, you know, July was that point, that target that we thought that people would start to return to work. And to be honest with you, when I'm driving into work, I can feel that. So I think there are a lot of people returning back to the office. But again, that balance still and then getting them up in the air. If you come to the airport, you do see more people and it's a great feeling, I have to say.
Fingers crossed. Let's talk a little bit about RDU's new air service. We just launched nonstop to San Francisco from United in July. That was exciting to get that on the books.
Long awaited, right?
Yeah, that West Coast connectivity is so important. The Bay Area and the Research Triangle really need that connection. And so it's really exciting to see that back up and running.
We also should have some additions for the fall, right?
Yeah, I think we mentioned in the last episode that Spirit has service to Miami starting in November. We also found out about American's new service to Tampa in November as well. It starts November 2nd. So between the two of those, that's an encouraging sign for what may be to come. We're hoping that maybe some warrior service comes soon. Fingers crossed again.
Yes, and going back to another episode when we talked to Kenneth Strickland, our air service director, and he talked about, you know, how the airline's schedule, again, so much is contingent upon that demand, and we see that leisure demand. So again, the connectivity to Florida makes sense, hopefully more to the West Coast and to destinations that you all are trying to get to.
Yeah, and I think that's the $1 million question, or in our case, the $300 million question. What will the fall schedule look like? And I think every airport is asking that question. I think every airline is asking that question because there's a lot of unknown out there. Mm-hmm. And what we do know are those factors that drive the return of certain routes. For example, our transatlantic routes that, you know, we hear that question every day. When is Paris coming back? When is London coming back? Well, those are two very different questions when you get down to it because of things like border restrictions, the mix of business travel, just the general demand for those flights. It's going to be really interesting to see. And I think we're right on the precipice of learning a lot about where our growth is going. Like I said, with passenger trends, but also with the fall schedule too.
Right. I'm excited and looking forward to it. You know, Jake and I here at The Fly Angle accept something that we call airmail. And so we always are wanting to hear from you and get your feedback about what you want us to cover or answer some questions. And we've got a really cool question this time. Jake, talk about it.
Our friend Les B wrote to ask if we might run a photo contest to share what the life of aviation looks like post-pandemic. It's funny you asked that, Les. Just a couple of months ago, the Triangle Takeoff Coalition, which is a new group of businesses in the region that are all committed to rebuilding passenger confidence in air travel, just announced their formation and the launch of a major new advertising campaign called Carry On. By now, you might have seen those spots on TV and in print. Social media. We're all over the place now. Part of that is we have a selfie station in the airport in Terminal 2 asking people to submit their photos of what they are doing on their vacations.
Where they're carrying on, right?
Yeah. We love hearing from people anyway. So if you haven't posted a photo from a vacation recently, first off, book that vacation. Second, make sure you're following our socials at FlyRDU on Instagram and at RDU Airport everywhere else. You can actually also follow Triangle Takeoff. They're at Triangle Takeoff everywhere. Tag us, tag Triangle Takeoff. Make sure that we can see where you're going. We would love to share those photos. We think that at the end of the day, our guests are the ones who keep the lights on here and make this job so exciting.
Right.
We're just as passionate about getting on a plane and going somewhere as you guys are. So we love seeing your photos.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear the angle that you have, Les, as you consider what the life of aviation looks like post-pandemic. I know for a lot of us here at the airport, we've watched that change occur over a period of time. But for a lot of people, they're returning back to the airport for the first time. So it does look and it does feel a little bit different. Although the lines are starting to build back up, people are wearing masks. There's still a mask mandate, but it is a different feel. So we'd love to capture that through photos. It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, and we always do try to provide some behind-the-scenes shots. We have a lot of friends around the airport, whether they work for the authority or they work for one of our tenant partners, taking shots from the ramp, some behind-the-scenes photos, just like slices of life at the airport that the layperson might not be able to see. We love trying to share those things. We'll try to keep posting those for sure.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, you can always just email. If you have a great photo you'd like to maybe submit, email them to us at communications@rdu.com and just let us know how you'd like to be credited, because we'd love to share those great photos.
Good stuff. Let's jump right into headlines, Jake. A business group that's focused on transportation issues is calling for new funding for RDU. The Regional Transportation Alliance, a great partner of ours, is an offshoot of the Greater Raleigh Chamber of Commerce, and they're focused on solving Research Triangle's transportation needs. And recently, RTA issued a report calling for steps to help meet capital spending needs for improvements and additions at RDU. You know, RTA has their number one focus in support of RDU Airport, and like I said, they're a great partner in this report. Very interesting.
So let's unpack that report a little bit. Here's some of RTA's key findings. First off, RDU's passenger growth will not create sufficient funding for needed future infrastructure. These are things like capital projects, the runway, terminal expansions. Local funding contributions for the airport haven't changed since 1957. Third, RDU has identified a $500 million revenue shortfall by 2030, even if $500 million in additional debt was issued. They'd also found that by 2040, the airport anticipates an additional $1 billion capital funding gap for a total shortfall of $2 billion. That's a big number, Mary.
Right.
That report finally just recommends new funding streams at the federal, state, and local levels. So $2 billion is a lot of money. What I would offer, you know, kind of just helping people wrap their minds around that amount
right.
of money, is that airports are expensive. We are very large campuses full of capital infrastructure, and you can't operate without things like a runway. You can't operate without a terminal. And those assets, even if they're already built, need to be maintained,
exactly.
need to be replaced eventually. You know, a lot of these things have shelf lives. The runway is a great example.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you think about the growth, I think a lot of people don't, like you mentioned earlier, unpacking this report. And part of that is unpacking our funding structure and our funding systems. And as they mentioned, that passenger growth will not create sufficient funding for needed infrastructure projects. And so I love that this task force has focused on this and is really diving into the potential options and thinking outside of the box in terms of how can we identify funding streams? How can we make our community more aware of our needs at the airport?
And it comes at the perfect time. I mean, not to sound overly urgent, but that runway 5L23R is absolutely at the end of its useful life. If you've ever flown out of RDU, chances are good that you have flown on that runway. It was built about 30 years ago, actually more than 30 years ago.
Wow.
And so it's at the end of its useful life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we mean by that is it needs repairs on an annual basis so it doesn't crumble.
Right.
It's not unsafe. It's absolutely safe to fly on. But we are doing that rehabilitatory work every year now because we have to, because if we don't, it will no longer be safe to fly on.
Exactly. And sustaining that is not,
yeah.
that's not feasible.
and we've heard from people in the community, well, why can't you just rehabilitate it in perpetuity? Well, running the numbers, you can't. It needs to be replaced outright.
Exactly.
And so that is an extremely cumbersome process. And as you know, in airport terms, cumbersome means expensive. So,
and it will take several years. This isn't RDU's only capital project. There are taxiways, terminals, and other huge projects that we also have to invest in. Part of that runway replacement is also dealing with growth so that we can add some more gates to Terminal 2 and develop those taxiways. Basically, the current runway is going to become a taxiway, which I can't wait to watch this process. We're going to have to find a way to capture that in images, right?
Yeah, we've talked about Vision 2040 in a previous episode. Would absolutely recommend, if you haven't really dove into what that airport master plan looks like, check it out on our website. I think it's rdu.com/vision2040.
Yes.
But really, it helps you envision what the airport could look like, how it could function decades down the road. Every corner of this airport will look different.
Yes, definitely check that out. Meanwhile, RDU's parking division has gone cashless. This is major. They still accept major credit and debit cards at drive-up stations and pay on foot self-service kiosks. However, cash is no longer accepted as a payment option at RDU's parking facilities. We're expanding that technology, and guests without cards can still use one of the ready station kiosks that are available in Terminal 2.
Yeah, so this is a recent change. You're starting to see this trend elsewhere, not just in aviation, but a number of places.
Mm-hmm.
So why do this? For the air, so it actually, there are benefits for the airport for sure, but there are benefits for the guests as well. For the airport, there are definitely cost savings involved. Streamlining our parking operations for the future, especially coming out of the last 12 months, we're thinking about where we can be efficient, and cost savings are the name of the game. This is one. Guests actually benefit too, though. When we go cashless, you're benefiting from contactless payment, reduced wait times. You can fully integrate that system now with booking your parking online at parkrdu.com. That project has been up and running for a couple of years now, and people love it. If you haven't booked your parking online, it is incredibly simple. Paying on foot, it feels like a thing of the past once you do book it online for the first time.
Exactly.
Now with end-to-end contactless experience is just futuristic. It's wonderful.
Right. It's pretty cool. And again, if you book online 24 hours in advance, you're guaranteed the lowest rate for parking. So, and a spot. So you don't have to worry. And you can come here, have a touchless experience, smooth experience all the way to your gate.
All right, so for episode 8, we are finally getting to talk to a guest that we've wanted to get on the podcast for some time. So without further ado, let's introduce the president and CEO of the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority, Mike Langeth. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for inviting me to the podcast, finally. I finally got the invite that I wanted.
Let's dive right in. Let's start with learning a little bit about you. How did you first get interested in aviation?
Yeah, probably like a lot of people. You know, as a kid, you stand out in your backyard, you were always kind of amazed at seeing airplanes fly overhead. And I remember as a kid, one year my dad decided to take the whole family to Orlando, and we got to fly. That was the first time that I ever flew in my entire life. I was probably 6 or 7 years of age, so young kid and, you know, very impressionable. And you got on board that airplane, you took off, you're flying 500 miles an hour, and you saw all those white puffy clouds all over the place. It was so exciting at that time. And from that point forward, I always had kind of a fascination with aviation, and I just loved it. And that led to a career in aviation, and I actually went to a school down in Daytona Beach called Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
Sure.
So that one event that my dad took me on that trip changed my life forever.
So at some point it became, I can make a career out of this. Like, where was that moment? Was it Embry-Riddle? Was it somewhere else?
I think that was age 8 is when I made
sure.
That career change. Really there.
You know, a young achiever.
I don't know exactly when that transition occurred. Probably in high school, we had an aerospace kind of program that was available. We had a very old simulator that one of the professors actually got into the high school, and that kind of started me to think about, you know, what are the careers in aviation? You know, airport management was not one of the first careers that I looked at in aviation. It was really flying an airplane, and it was really from that high school experience that I got, which really kind of drove that. And I think once I got to university and started taking classes and actually got to sit in an airplane, it was like, this is pretty cool. I could do this day in and day out. So that's where it kind of all got started.
It's pretty cool. So from flying to formal education, Mike, what is it that you enjoy most about being an airport director? And to that end, what's the most rewarding part of the job as well as the most challenging? Fully loaded question.
That is a fully loaded question. So one of the things that I like to do periodically is simply go over to our terminals, Terminal 2, Terminal 1, and I like to stand right as we see people kind of exit the facility. And you get to see people that are holding up signs to get to see their loved ones. So we get to participate with somebody being able to embrace and see a loved one. They see a grandparent. They see a loved one. They see some of their best friends. They get to experience this incredible event in their life, and we get to be part of it. And it's the things that we do day in and day out that make that possible. And I like being part of that, that we really get an opportunity to have a positive impact on people's lives. And I get to see it every day when people are coming through that, coming through the exit lane to see their loved ones as they come through. So that's really what I enjoy about my job. Mm-hmm. Is being able to help people and see that in their face when they're embracing their loved one.
My favorite Easter eggs of Terminal 2, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, right above the meeting place, if you look directly overhead,
right,
you'll see probably 5 or 6 balloons that have just floated up to the ceiling on any given day.
Oh, now you're making...
They're always directly above
I got to go make a checklist now to get those down. That's not what we want it to look like, but no, I get it. Yeah, isn't that great that people are bringing balloons, celebrating? They're celebrating an event that we get to take part of as a result of the infrastructure we put into place. So again, we're changing lives in a very positive way for our local community.
Mike, one of the things that I'm fascinated about as I observe you and interact with you is your awareness of all the operations that go on at the airport, and that's airport directing and management. You know, what is the angle? How do you manage all of that? It's tremendous.
Well, you know what? I don't really consider it a job. It's kind of a, I love this place. I love the people. I love engaging with them. I like understanding what they're doing. And, you know, my entire kind of business plan for the airport and for our staff is all about team. And so in order to be a team, you got to engage with your team. I'll give you a good example. This past week, we got an opportunity. Both Bill and I, our chief operating officer, got an opportunity to go over to the fire hall. Of course, the fire guys made us breakfast. So pancakes and sausage, something really kind of nice.
Nice.
But we had a great opportunity to have an exchange of information about some of the things that they saw that we could improve upon. And so that was kind of that team and that, you know, community spirit of kind of coming together to try to solve challenges that we see in the organization. But it's getting out and talking to people, seeing things. I learned so much as a result of what our employees do that helped shape my mind or the direction for the organization based upon their input. So it's critical that we get out and kind of have an exchange. But it does take a lot of time. I have long days. My day doesn't end when I leave here. Typically, I'm on the phone with board members till late at night. I'll tell you right now, my board chairman, typically Sunday at about 6 o'clock at night, I'm on the phone with him for about 2 hours. Typically, again, Tuesday night, I'm on the phone with him. And again, we're in contact with other board members as well. As my team keeps me informed, I try to keep them informed and let everybody recognize this is a team effort. It requires the board, requires the executive team, requires the staff, everybody coming together to make this system work, to create those moments that we see at the actual checkpoint of people being able to see their loved ones.
So let's change gears a little bit and talk about everything that's been happening the past 16 months.
Not much going on around
here.
Yeah, it's a little bit slow.
Pretty quiet around the airport these days. Yeah. Now, the past 16 months or so, give or take, have provided plenty of what we'd call lessons learned to the aviation industry as a whole, to RDU. What were some of those big takeaways for you from the pandemic as a director of RDU?
I would go and I would point at staff and how incredible our staff was when they fought through this pandemic. Ladies and gentlemen, if you remember, we were down 96%. We only had 4% of our customers that came through. We started in February 28th of 2020 with a $300 million program, including expenses and capital program for the year. By the time that we reached around the 17th of March, we were in a free fall, losing tons of customers. By the time we reached April 1st, we had cut $150 million out of the program. That means from janitors to landscaping, all the contracted services we had out there, we had to cut. Those things still needed to get done. I turned back to our team of employees, and there was never a hesitation in their voice whatsoever. They immediately rallied. We had people that were working administrative jobs, whether they're running the noise program, that were now managing other employees to do weed whacking and trimming bushes and taking on activities that was above and beyond the call of duty. And by the way, they still had to do their day-to-day job. So they did that and took on all these additional activities. That is an incredible story that I think most people in our local community have no idea what we actually did behind the scenes to keep this thing afloat. Cleaning our own offices. We had no janitorial services. Guess what? I was your janitor. We had trees and vegetation within the terminals itself. We had a contract where outside party would come in and water that. We didn't have that contract anymore. Our C-suite was actually out there watering plants. And I will tell you, plants didn't look super great, but we kept them alive enough till we could get the professionals back in here. They're really the green thumbs to keep it alive. But the incredible piece about that whole thing was how valuable our employees were and how important they were to our overall success to fight our way through this pandemic that is like something we have never seen in our entire life. I think it was April of 2020, during that period of time, about 65% of all commercial airplanes across the world were on the ground at the same time, grounded. Unbelievable. And our team stepped up to the plate. They took on additional responsibilities, never complained, and helped us fight through this to the point we're truly starting to go into recovery, and they're helping us out of that recovery process as well. So that team has been extremely important for our overall success, and that's the biggest thing is, you know, sometimes we take for granted our team and our teammates, but I will tell you that's one thing I learned. We cannot take for granted our teammates because they really are what keep this system moving at the end of the day in and day out.
So when COVID first emerged locally, you moved very quickly, as you've talked about, to institute a number of changes that touched virtually every aspect of the airport. Which ones do you believe are here to stay for years to come?
You know, that's interesting. As we started to go through the pandemic, we changed a lot of things. We started putting stickers all over, you know, sliding glass doors and stickers on the ground. We put plexiglass up. You know, we're starting to wear masks. You know, I think a lot of those social distancing type things, maybe even the plexiglass, I think some of those at some point will come down. I wonder if maybe it may not be mandated, but the mask, that may be something that might wind up sticking for the customers at some point in time.
Where guests like self-select and
absolutely
bringing their mask anyway.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be a federal requirement? But I could see people wanting additional assurances that they could be safe. And again, Harvard School of Public Health has done two different reports. One is onboard the airplane, and the second is in the actual terminal itself. And both of those reports have come back and said it's very safe to fly through an airport and be on board an airplane. But I do believe that that mask has done a very effective job of keeping the spread of the pandemic occurring. And really, through the pandemic, as we've continued to fly and people wear those masks, through trace contacting, we really haven't seen that disease being transmitted via the airplane. So I do believe that that will probably, one of the things that probably sticks as a result of kind of the pandemic is people having a willingness to probably want to wear masks on board. And again, I think at some point this will become voluntary, but I think that'll carry over for some time.
Last episode, we had our Chief Information Officer, Chuck McFall.
Mr. McFall, yes.
Yes, fantastic. And he touched a little bit on the technology, of course, mm-hmm. and his leadership there. Do you think that the touchless technology and that type of stuff is going to continue as well or even expand?
Matter of fact, we made an investment. So as we came around this past year, I guess in the January, February timeframe, we made a sizable investment in replacement of new kiosks. So these are the devices you come to check in and get your boarding pass. But we've also added an additional capability, which is self-bag tags. So you can go up there, not only get your ticket, but you can also get the bag spitter that spits out your bag tag that you can actually attach to your bag. That's all designed to make this as contactless and as easy as possible to keep you moving through. But that's an example of a technology investment that we've already made. To expand upon that is we're trying to get an app developed that you could actually, instead of touching the kiosk, hopefully in the next 6 months, you could use your phone to actually check in, go right to the kiosk, it'll actually read your phone and print the boarding pass, would print the bag tag readily available. So I think we're going to continue to look for ways to make it as seamless and contactless as possible for our customers to give them a higher level of confidence as they fly through RDU, they can be safe when they travel.
That's great. All right. So now that the airport is safe to say in recovery mode, fully invested into that process, where do you see RDU going from here? What's next?
So remember, when we hit the brakes in March of 2020, we were in the midst of a very large infrastructure program, what we call our Vision 2040 program. So that's a long-term airport infrastructure plan. And I will tell you that I've taken my foot off the brake. I'm starting to slide it very rapidly towards the accelerator, and we're about ready, I think, to start putting our foot back into the gas to get that program back up and started. The great thing about Vision 2040, it's very flexible. So as employments grow faster, we can add additional projects and programs that are needed to support the overall growth. If we need to slow down, well, we demonstrated very well during COVID. We were able to put the brakes on Vision 2040, but never really missed a beat. We still have projects ready to go. So I think you're going to start to see these Vision 2040 projects start to come back into play. And probably the most pronounced one is going to be the replacement of that long runway. That is really the signature project for me of Vision 2040's replacement. It's so critical because the existing 10,000-foot runway, so if you were sitting in Terminal 2, looking out towards the airfield, that is our longest runway. It's 10,000 feet, and it's getting close to end of life. It needs to be replaced. And again, 10,000 feet of pavement can literally take you anywhere in the world. That's how important that piece of pavement is going to be to this community as we want to continue to grow, as we want people to move in and call this place their home, but as we also want businesses to relocate here. That's going to be a critical element. And again, need to have a great runway in order to be a big, great airport.
Yeah, and so I understand too that that runway has been undergoing some, I guess you'd call it maintenance, but really it's rehabilitation efforts over the past year or two.
Yes. I will tell you that our engineering team, our planning team has been doing a phenomenal job of keeping that alive. To say it's a kind of a maintenance program is probably an underestimate. This is some pretty heavy duty construction. Most people don't realize that that concrete runway is about 16 inches thick of concrete. We are saw cutting out 25 by 25 feet in length slabs, removing a slab, and then pouring concrete back in that place to replace that slab. When we closed that runway in April of 2020 because of the pandemic, there was just no service. We replaced about 110 slabs.
Wow.
That is a phenomenal engineering and construction effort to get that done in about a 30-day period and keep that runway up and running until we can get through the environmental process for the new runway and the construction for the new runway. So hats off to that team. A lot of people come here, they drink their Starbucks, they get on board the airplane, it's seamless, and they take off in that runway. But there's a lot of hard work by men and women that call this place their home, RDU, as a team, to make something like that happen to ensure you can be safe when you travel out of here.
So Vision 2040 is the airport's master plan. Mike, is there any other aspect of that plan that you're excited about?
Gosh, you know, there are so many different elements. There's opportunities for terminal expansion. I think we're close to having a conversation about that, but I think we're probably going to hold off until we're really at that 2019 level. That'll probably be kind of the triggering device for that. We're trying to figure out how we deal with our rental car facility. Rental car facility probably needs to be improved to provide a better experience. And so trying to work with the rental car agencies is, do we build what we call a consolidated rental car facility? So if you think about a parking structure like we have between Terminal 1 and Terminal 2, it would be a similar size structure you would develop for your rental cars. Don't know that that's still going to be in the works, if that's something we're going to take forward or not. We're also going to be looking at ground transportation, trying to improve that overall experience. We talked about a ground transportation center. So you could see that potentially located in the actual parking garage where Uber, Lyft, taxi cabs, black cars, limousines, all types of ground transportation could go in that location. And I'm excited about that because, you know, in 2019, as we started to see us grow, the congestion on that roadway and on those curbs, that became very challenging. And so we're trying to address that through this ground transportation center. So that's one of those projects that I like that I think would really improve the overall experience for our customers. And of course, let's not forget our partners at Go Triangle and public transportation and trying to make sure that they can get in here with some of the new routes they'll establish to get from point A to point B quickly and be able to keep moving down and don't get caught up in all that congestion at the end of the day.
Right.
So I'm the air service geek of the pod, so I have to ask. We're recording this in July 2021.
Right.
Right now, RDU's two transatlantic flights, London and Paris, are still sitting on the ground. What does the future hold for transatlantic service from RDU and even from other East Coast airports?
Yeah, so I think for RDU, as we've had conversations with American Airlines and also Delta Airlines, both not only the London service but the Paris service, they have been very positive about that service will return. So don't know exactly what the timeline is. If you heard from some of the CEOs from the major carriers, they are starting to predict that this is probably a 2022 recovery. I know that, some of that service kind of sits out there a little bit, I think deeper into the fall timeframe, but I'm not sure that the business customer is going to be fully back to support a very large wide-body transport aircraft going back and forth to London and also to Paris. So I'm more optimistic that this is probably sometime early, maybe first quarter, second quarter of 2022 when we'll see those things return. I think you'll see a similar pattern of international service like we saw in 2019, some form of that for a lot of other airports here in the United States start to probably materialize as well in the 2022 timeframe. So keep your fingers crossed. If business travelers come back quicker, that service will come back quicker. They'll be positioned to do that. But again, I think what we're seeing today in July of 2021, so change, but as of today, looks like that's probably going to be early 2022 timeframe.
And so in the meantime, we're really kind of just focused on hunkering down and restoring as much of that domestic connectivity as we can.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Ken Strickland, who's our director of air service, does a phenomenal job. He is always on the prowl looking for opportunities to provide better connectivity, better competition, a local market for our local consumers to make sure you get best price and best quality of service you can. And so as we started to see the recovery, it's really been a leisure recovery. And as a result of a leisure recovery, that's a little bit different strategy we've had in the past, where we've really been looking at kind of more business-related type markets. So Kenneth's done a phenomenal job. He pivoted, went in after some of these kind of ultra-low-cost carriers looking for markets. You've seen quite a bit of new service that's been added, especially places like Fort Walton Beach, a lot of additional service into Tampa. A lot of it's all about that leisure market. Well, Kenneth has been behind that, trying to push that, because that's where truly the opportunity is. But he's also in a position that if he needs to pivot at any point in time, as we start to see the business customer come back, to ensure we can meet that long-term demand for the business customer and provide the service that they want. So he's constantly on the horizon, kind of scanning ahead, trying to figure out what are we missing from a leisure standpoint, what are we missing from a business standpoint, and having communications with our business partners to say, what else can we do to support your growth in the local community?
Yeah. And not such a humble brag, but we are in a pretty rock star market.
Yeah.
And I often hear you talk about the level of talent in this region, you know, albeit the local universities and the level of innovation in the park. Can you talk a little bit about RDU's recruitment strategy in terms of identifying staffing for the RDU of tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, that's been a little bit of a challenge. If you ask me, what's the one thing that I probably didn't predict, and I think most people across the country didn't predict, is the challenges we're starting to see in terms of recruiting and finding that talent. That seems to be across the board. I don't care if it is an entry-level position or it's one of the top positions in our organization, just about anywhere else. I mean, we're talking to concessionaires, talking to rental car companies, talking to the airlines. Everybody's got a similar challenge. For us, again, what we're trying to sell is we've got a great set of core values. We are a team. We respect each other. We strive for excellence. Those types of things are a good recruiting tool. And of course, we've got very, very good work that people can work on, something that's very meaningful. So when you come to work for RDU, you're going to work for an organization that generates about $15.1 billion a year economic impact in this region. That is a sizable economic impact to the region, and it's because of the work that the people do. So you have meaningful work. When you come to work, you're changing people's lives at the end of the day in terms of what you do. And I don't care if you're a firefighter or you're an accountant. All of those people have to work together to make this thing kind of work at the end of the day. It is a challenge. We're trying to figure out how we partner with different businesses that are in the recruiting business, trying to make sure we get our message out. But I think as we tell our story and share with them the types of jobs we've got available, we're a small city. We have police officers, firefighters, traffic control officers, plumbers, electricians, everything you would see in a city we've got right here. And the great thing is you get to work for an airport. Mm-hmm. And you get all the things in terms of it's a very dynamic and exciting. We get to host the President of the United States that comes right into this facility. So it's a good quality of life, good people working together. And I think that's kind of our selling point for people wanting to come and work for RDU.
Pretty cool. RDU's President and CEO, Mike Langeth. Mike, thanks again for joining us.
Noah, thanks for having me. And congratulations. You know, this is something that both of you came up with an idea of having this podcast. And there are a lot of people that are listening to this. I think it gives them this great perspective. They get behind the scenes to listen to the men and women that are actually making a difference that makes it seamless when they come through this facility to travel on an airplane and go to their great destination. So shout out to all of our team members and the two of you. Great podcast. Great speakers have been on here. I'm glad you're giving everybody an opportunity to see all the great things that everybody's doing right here at RDU to make this a great place to live and work, but also a great place to travel right out of.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Well, I think that was like the premier interview, Jake. I'm so excited that we finally landed our CEO, Michael Langeth, on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to get him back on soon. He seemed to like it, right?
I think he might like have a recurring spot. We better be careful with that.
Yeah.
Well, if you're enjoying the podcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as well as share it with your friends. Tell somebody.
Help people find us.
Yes.
So, and we also want to know what you want to hear. We've got a lot of episodes to come. Submit some questions to us. Send us your email to communications@rdu.com. Send us your ideas for episodes, interviews. We want to talk to people, whether it's people here at the airport, people in the community, just about not just airport life, but like what the airport means to the Research Triangle.
Yeah.
You name it. We're ready to do it.
So. Absolutely. And you can always follow us on social media, on Instagram @FlyRDU and then everywhere else @RDU Airport. We cannot wait to connect with you.
All right. See you next episode.
Take care.